Welcome back to another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92. This morning we're going to travel over to CCM Health in Montevideo, and we're going to visit with Wendy Augustin. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
And how's your day going today?
So far, so good. So, the sun is shining. It looks like it's going to be a great fall day.
Good. All right. Wendy's an RN and an EMT, and you had a whole bunch of other numbers or letters next to your name there, Wendy. I don't know what they are.
Sure.
So,
well, I think specific to our discussion today, diabetes education, certified diabetes care and education specialist, the CDCES, is the advanced certification that myself and my partner, Sherry Ness, who is a registered dietitian, we've done additional training for that diabetes piece.
Okay, great. Well, Wendy, for our listeners that don't know you, why don't you just introduce yourself or tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, thank you. Again, my name is Wendy Augustin. I've been employed with CCM Health since 1996. I actually am on the ambulance service here in town, and that'll be a 30-year anniversary next year. And then have worked as a nurse, and specifically within the Diabetes Education Department for almost the last 7 years.
Okay. All right. Wendy, what's our subject today?
Well, today we are just sharing some information about diabetes, and November is perfect timing to do that as it is National Diabetes Awareness Month, and we are going to be having a screening event coming up next week that I'll share some details about,
okay.
But just have some general basic info that I'd love to pass along to folks.
All right, real good, Wendy. Well, I'm just going to give you the floor, and November is National Diabetes Awareness Month, so go ahead, Wendy.
All right, perfect. Well, I enjoy hearing some facts, and I think it's a good way to start a discussion about diabetes. These statistics have been compiled from a combination of resources, including the American Diabetes Association, the World Health Organization, and the International Diabetes Federation. So pretty sound, reliable resources. Approximately 589 million adults in the age group of 20 to 79 are living with diabetes worldwide. That comes out to approximately 1 in 9 adults within that age group. 43% of adults with diabetes, which is about 252 million people, are actually unaware that they have it. Over 90% of those with diabetes have type 2 diabetes, which is heavily driven by lifestyle, socioeconomic, and demographic factors. I'll kind of dive in a little bit deeper about the differences between type 1, type 2, and gestational as we move on. But specifically here in the United States, approximately 37 million individuals are affected by diabetes, with many, many more at risk of developing it. So why Diabetes Awareness Month? As I shared in the statistics, it's a worldwide condition impacting people of all ages and socioeconomic backgrounds. As diabetes educators here at CCM, we're thrilled to have the opportunity to raise awareness. Specifically, the goal of Diabetes Awareness Month is to educate, empower, and inspire individuals to take control of their health. We know that early detection and proper management can prevent complications like heart disease, kidney failure, and vision loss. Our role as educators focuses not only on the management of diabetes, but also mitigating those potential serious complications that it can occur. So again, understanding diabetes, a lot of misunderstanding out there in regards to the difference between type 1, type 2, pre-diabetes, and then of course there's gestational diabetes. So type 1, previously known as the juvenile diabetes or child onset, that's actually an autoimmune condition where the body stops producing insulin because of damage for one reason or another to the pancreatic cells of an individual. Those folks need to take insulin on a daily basis, and without, they would not be able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Type 2 diabetes, often referred to as the adult onset, is the most common type of diabetes, and it's when the body either isn't producing quite enough insulin to meet the body's needs, or the body is not able to use that insulin efficiently or effectively. Insulin is the hormone often referred to as the key that unlocks the door to the cells, which then allows glucose to get into the cells to be used to provide energy. Pre-diabetes, it's kind of a warning stage when blood sugar levels are creeping up but not yet in that diabetic range, and this affects nearly 1 in 3 adults. There are some lab tests that we use to help diagnose and differentiate between pre-diabetes and diabetes. And there's different ways. I mean, we have screening tools. We can do random, just finger stick blood glucose checks, or there's actually a more specific test called the glycosylated hemoglobin A1C. That's actually a blood test that is drawn and is an average of 3 months' worth of blood glucose levels. Mm. And then based on those test results, it helps us differentiate, again, if it would be pre-diabetes or the type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. Gestational diabetes is diabetes that occurs during pregnancy and typically will resolve after delivery. Several risk factors that can predispose an expecting mom to gestational diabetes. These factors include a previous pregnancy that was impacted by gestational diabetes, a condition known as polycystic ovarian syndrome, a family history of type 2 diabetes, advanced maternal age, and obesity. And our obstetrical providers here at CCM Health screen all pregnant individuals at varying times during their pregnancy, depending on those risk factors. Hmm. And then when needed, if identified, a referral is made to our diabetes education team for help in figuring out the best treatment plan moving forward.
Well, that's one I haven't heard of before. Is that common, or?
Gestational diabetes?
Yeah, gestational diabetes.
Yeah, thankfully it's not super common,
right.
But it affects about 1 out of 10 pregnancies.
Okay.
We are seeing a little bit of an increase with that, and similar to the type 2 risk factors, some of the lifestyle things impact that as far as sedentary lifestyles, work activities, and obesity.
Okay. All right. What are some factors and risk factors and prevention for diabetes? Wendy.
Perfect. Well, as I said, with gestational diabetes, some of those are risk factors just with developing type 2 as a whole. Again, family history, obesity, sedentary lifestyle, poor dietary choices, and age. Obviously, some of those risk factors we can change, but others, like our age and our genetic composition, it is what it is, and we're not able to adjust those. But some of the preventative actions that we can take in regards to those modifiable risk factors, eating diet rich in whole grains, lean proteins, vegetables, fruits, engaging in regular physical activity, at least 150 minutes per week, and how that 150 minutes is achieved is variable. We know that doing activity and movement on a more consistent basis is better, so we like to just throw out 5 days a week, 30 minutes a day, boom, you've hit that 150. But again, we have people that will split that up and they'll do maybe 10 to 15 minutes two or three times a day, again, working towards that goal of 150 minutes per week. Of course, regular screenings, especially if you have some of those identified risk factors, maintaining a healthy weight, and then managing stress. We know more and more how stress impacts other health conditions, and diabetes is no different from that, with stress being a huge component as well. Living with diabetes. This is the exciting part. So many changes, just even in the time that I've been working specifically in the diabetes education area. Technology, there are things called CGMs, or continuous glucose monitors. They're little devices, especially during the summertime. You can see when people have less clothing on, they're little, about quarter to 50 cent piece sized devices that are just worn on the back of an individual's arm. So sometimes you can notice those if people have tank tops or short sleeve shirts on. That's something that the individual places themselves and typically is changed every 10 to 15 days. People can either use an app on their phone or carry a little reader that displays their blood sugar continuously. so they no longer have to do the finger sticks. It just gives them real-time information continuously. Insulin pumps also make management easier. That's a little device, again, about the size of a glucometer or a meter that's used to check blood sugars. That's pre-filled with insulin, and then the individual would have a site, and typically insulin then we adjust and set dosages, so small amounts are infused continuously, affording that individual much, much better, tighter control of their blood sugar levels. So almost every week, whether it's on the news, whether we get alerts, there's new treatment advances that are just really revolutionizing the approach to diabetes care. Right now, we estimate that probably 40 to 50% of the patients that we see and treat are using some sort of technology to help manage their diabetes.
That's
unfortunately
great.
Sometimes it is great, and we think because of the value, we think everybody should be allowed to use that or have those options. Unfortunately, insurance doesn't necessarily understand and appreciate that. So we continue in healthcare to raise our voices and advocate for change, and hopefully some of the criteria that mandates coverage and individuals being allowed to use those pieces of technology will improve. I have a little personal story. A patient, it's probably about a year or so ago now, started wearing a sensor, and he was telling us, he said, you know, he said, my wife and I, when we were on a little road trip, we used to stop at this ice cream shop, and he said, you know, I didn't give my blood sugar one single second thought. Most people don't carry their meter with them in the car and do, you know, multiple checks just here and there. And he said, we were driving, and my wife picked up my phone, looked at it, and said, your blood sugar is 225. Mm. You know, maybe we shouldn't stop for ice cream today. And the individual said, that was just such an eye-opening. He said, you know, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have known what my blood sugar was,
right,
because I didn't have that ability. And so that's where and how having that information available continuously really helps individuals make healthier lifestyle choices. And I just love that story because, again, it was, you know, they were driving,
right,
she looked at the phone for him, and they made a decision that, you know, certainly improved,
yep,
and helped maintain his blood sugar.
That's amazing. That's great. That's a
it is.
Great story.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
In regards to just advances, medications too, you know, lots of different things. Years ago, there was just a handful of oral options, and then certainly insulin to treat diabetes. Now there are more oral options that offer significant overlap in treating other chronic conditions like heart and renal or kidney impairments. Oftentimes we talk about all of the negative side effects of medications, and some of these newer medications have some very positive side effects in regards to helping manage or co-manage some of these other impairments. Some of these meds can be administered by a small subcutaneous or just under the surface of the skin injection just once a week, making the treatment plan much less cumbersome for patients. Of course, insulin continues to be an option, but with the development of pre-filled pens to dial up and administer the correct insulin dose, it's gotten much, much easier than the days of old in which insulin had to be drawn up into a syringe from a vial.
Right.
If they were on a mixed or two different kinds of insulin, it was a huge learning curve, and the pens have just really revolutionized that approach in care too. The other exciting thing, we hear about this frequently, research is underway for the development of a weekly insulin injection, similar to some of the other medications that can be administered just once a week. And again, just what a huge game changer that will be for patients, just to, you know, versus one to multiple injections a day, getting that down to potentially just one injection a week will be huge.
All right. Real good, Wendy. We just about have a minute or so left here, Wendy. So you talked about some complementary glucose screening coming up, or?
We do, okay. Yes. Next week, November 19th, in the main entrance of CCM Health, we will be set up from 10 a.m. to 11:30, and again from 1 to 2:30 p.m., doing free screenings, offering some healthy holiday eating tips and recommendations. Again, a free event for everybody, even if they don't receive care or have a provider here at CCM Health. We would love to see them come out and learn a bit more and get those risk factors identified.
Okay. And that's next Wednesday the 19th, and you just walk into the clinic entrance there? Or?
Yep, okay. The main entrance, front entrance, yes.
Well, Wendy, I know we had a lot more to talk about. We could do another show on this, maybe.
We could. I'd love to. We're pretty passionate about diabetes here. Yep. Individuals can also reach out just by calling CCM Health and asking for diabetes education.
All right. Thank you, Wendy, for being on Wellness Wednesday. A wealth of information there. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day, yep. Paul.
Yep. That's Wendy Augustin, an RN and a diabetes nurse educator from CCM Health in Montevideo, and this has been another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92.